Let's do this.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm pumped.
Oh. Yeah, let's do it, man.
All right, let's do this.
All right, let's do this.
Oh, let's do this.
Oh. Let's do it.
Let's do this.
Now let's do this.
Let's do it.
We welcome you to the Coaching Life Podcast. I'm Chris Stewart, and as always, I'm hosting it with my good friend, Coach Pat Martin. How you doing, Coach?
Good, Coach. Good to see you.
Good deal. Well, we have a really special guest that we want to bring on here today, and I just want to start by sharing a few words about him before we invite him to come in with us. Our guest today has lived his entire life in the game of football, and I think he could actually be best summarized as a man of family and football. He grew up in Armory, Mississippi, where he played high school football as a quarterback for Armory High School. And after high school, he thought he might go and play where his father played at Mississippi State, but he ended up going to Ole Miss and played as a defensive back, and defense ended up becoming his world of football there after that. Ultimately found his college home in Nebraska as a Cornhusker, where he played for Coach Tom Osborne, and also Monty Kiffin was on that staff, father of Lane Kiffin. And after college, football continued because he was drafted in the eighth round by the Green Bay Packers in the NFL draft, played 1 year there, and then five more years, moved on to the CFL, the Canadian Football League, where he was actually named an All-Star and won a championship, the Grey Cup, there in the Canadian Football League. And, you know, like a lot of us, a lot of you who listen to our podcast, you sports have been an entire part of your life. It's been your whole life. And I think like a lot of us who have just played sports all of our lives, you can't give it up, and you just kind of slide right into coaching. And that's what our guest did. He invested almost 40 years into coaching the game of football. Washington State, Iowa State, Ames High School, back where his two sons went and two of his sons played, and then Nebraska and North Dakota State. And then his last stop was here in our hometown where we record this podcast at Ohio University. And our guest actually might still be coaching at Ohio University today, except for the fact that he made the decision to retire early in order to watch his son play his final year of college football. And I just want to say this. I chose to include all of those details of his illustrious career in the introduction so that we can just get a feel for who we're talking to today. Because I think that perhaps the most impressive attribute and what makes him such an important guest, particularly on our podcast, is that he is a father first, father and husband above all. And so we would just like to welcome in our guest on the Coaching Life Podcast, Coach Jimmy Burrow, father of some guy that plays quarterback for Cincinnati Bengals. So. Coach, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. You got anything going on this weekend? Any plans, or just going to be hanging around the house?
Apparently I'm just going to spend most of the day on different radio, TV stations, podcasts.
Oh.
That's all good. And, we'll be headed to Kansas City this weekend, and we're looking forward to it. But that'll be our 20th game this year. The most we'd ever been to, I guess, was 15 at LSU championship season. So this will be our 20th game. Actually, probably 22nd counting the preseason game. So we're good to go. We got it down.
Yeah, I'll bet. I'll bet. And that's not enough. You'll still be wanting more. You're eating up with it.
Yes, we definitely want one more for sure.
No doubt.
A few more. Yeah. Coach, really appreciate you joining us today. Our listening audience, Chris kind of alluded to this earlier in his introduction there. Our listening audience is a lot of moms and dads of young athletes. So we talk a lot about parenting and the right way to encourage your children in sports and, you know, proper behavior, not just from an athletic or coaching perspective, but also from a parenting perspective. And I just, you know, when Coach Stewart told me he might be able to talk you into coming on to the podcast today, the question that I had, and I think I kind of think about it often, watching Joe play, is as a parent, I guess specifically this past weekend is what I'm thinking of, What are you feeling? What are you thinking? How are you handling the emotions as Joe Burrow, your son, is driving down the field with seconds ticking off the clock to win a divisional round, a playoff game, the National Football League?
Well, I was nervous, I believe. I'm not going to lie. And you know, once upon a time, I thought after so many games and final drives and wins and losses that maybe you wouldn't be nervous. But I think that's forever going to be that way. His mom, Robin, and I were sitting right there watching it. And, you know, I was getting down a little because I thought maybe they'd kick a field goal. And she kept elbowing me in the side saying, you know, quit being so pessimistic. We're going to win. And she was right. But tons of emotions going through that whole week, really, and then the weekend and then the game.
I love the fact that you said Robin told you to quit being so pessimistic and we're going to win. And here's why. Because one thing I didn't mention, we need to have Robin on also, because she is actually an elementary school principal and she's leading my young Eastern Eagles as they come through there, you know. And so she's the principal at the elementary school where I'm coaching baseball now. And what that tells me, Coach, is that she's instilling in them confidence. Grow up expecting that you're going to win. I love that. Yeah.
She loves Eastern school over there and principal. But I think that was just the defensive coordinator coming out. I mean, I know how hard it is to defend somebody in those situations, and they had the ball. So, but you're right. She's confident and always optimistic when Joe's on the field.
No doubt. Well, Coach, what's the biggest thing that maybe you've learned or maybe what have you come to believe is the most important aspect of raising an athlete, both as a coach and as a parent? We've had the privilege of getting to see some of you guys raise your kids, lived out there on Channing Way Boulevard there for a while, and our kids hung out together and it's a heck of a lot of fun to watch these kids grow up that you've seen. We've had so many kids in this area have great college ball success wherever they've gone. And, you know, certainly you have, you know, you guys are on the top of that list. What are some things that you've learned, you know, just with the life that you've had also where you've not always been able to be there?
I think as parents, regardless of, whether your son's an athlete or not, there's core values that you start with, discipline, respect, teamwork, giving it your best, working hard, all those things. And the good thing is what those core values are as a parent and raising your daughter or son carries over into sports. And so there's a great correlation between the two. There's so many things that a parent can teach, and there's so many things that a young athlete can learn in sports, and really any of those core values that work and are important as in your family again is important as a player, whether it's football, baseball, or basketball. And I think I tried to just carry that over with Joe. Early, you know, respect your teammates, respect your coaches, respect your opponents, you know, be disciplined in how you go about your business, work hard. And the other thing is to have fun. I think the biggest mistake a parent can have is putting too much pressure on their son or daughter in athletics. I think another issue sometimes is specialization. I'm a big multiple sport a guy. I just saw where the eight quarterbacks that played this last weekend, they played a total of 24 sports in high school as a group. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great. But still, you know, they got to have fun and they got to want to do it. A parent shouldn't make their kids play sports. But if they do, again, give them all the support that you can, work to give them confidence and make sure they're working hard and giving it their best.
I love that. That speaks so true to what our pretty much every week our conversation is here. And to hear you say those, you know, echo those same words just really confirms a lot of what our listeners hear every week. I've got a story for you. You know, you mentioned, you know, we all know Joe's a multi-sport athlete, and I got to watch him play, you know, all of those sports. And then I took over as the head baseball coach at Athens in 2013. For some reason, he decided to stop playing baseball. So, and that may have been one of his, probably his best sport as a youth, but watching him play. Wow, he was phenomenal. But there was one, here's a story. He came up to me during basketball season. I think it was after his sophomore year. And he said, because he was missing, he was out, you know, the Lerman, you know, his best friends were all out there. And he said, "Coach, I think I'm going to play baseball this year, but I need to talk about what my role might be," because he knew he was going to be pretty busy going to camps and things like that. And he didn't want to pitch. And I said, "Absolutely. You know, no problem at all." And so he came out to a couple of our summer inter squad stuff and things like that. And I remember we were at the field and he had to leave right in the middle of one of our inter squads in the summer. And he obviously didn't decide to play, and we all know why, because he got pretty busy as he was being recruited. But the reason he left that summer was because he said, "I got to go home to do some film study with my dad." And that I knew then that you were pouring a ton into, you know, one of the great, you know, characteristics that people talk about that Joe has that is just it's just unusual for the youth that he is in the game, is that he plays the game like a veteran, because he just seems to understand and have a feel for what's going to happen before it happens. And I don't think that's by accident. It's the fact that he was a 15-year-old kid going home in the summer and could have been doing a lot of other things, but he was watching film with you. You're to credit for a lot of that, Coach, for a lot of his...
Well, again, you know, I was a football coach, but again, a parent certainly too. I was his dad, and I never wanted it to make it seem like it was work. I never [S2] Right. [S1] Wanted him to think of it as something he had to do. So he enjoyed it. He thought it was fun and certainly important. And you know, we didn't do it 24/7, I didn't say, "Hey, you gotta do this tonight with me." It just became, if to watch some film and I was available, then we did it. And back to the baseball, I think that's probably, if you ask him what would be one of his biggest regrets about high school, and it would be not playing baseball. Almost every spring, he talked about going back out. And as you said, there's a lot of people that watched him that think baseball could have and would have been his best sport if he'd have kept after it. But he just liked being around his friends and teammates, and that would have given him a whole new opportunity every spring to get around some of the same people, but some of the different people also. So he talks a lot about that when we revisit things in high school.
Well, he's a pretty good football player, so I can't imagine what kind of...
Yeah, he probably made the right choice.
Yes, but, he did. And it's one of my biggest regrets too, Coach, that he decided not to play baseball.
Well, he probably could have helped you some.
I think he probably could have. Yeah, no doubt.
I think that conversation there, that segment, kind of speaks to who Joe is, because just in a press conference this past week, I think, or after the game, he mentioned how, you know, the Bengals are just a bunch of friends playing football. And I think
that was a kind of a motto of his at the Athens
in high school.
You know, I think we have a Athens Bulldog blanket that says, just a bunch of friends playing ball, and he's been fortunate. LSU, very similar. Athens High School, very similar. Great kids that were in the program and great coaches, and that's just a big part of who Joe is, to have fun with his friends. I mean, he still plays video games during the week with the Lermans and the guys that he grew up with, Sam Vanderman and people like that. So that's just Joe. That's who he is.
I hope it always, he just stays that way, rest of his life. because that's what makes him who he is. Yeah, exactly, exactly. He is
absolutely
who he is.
And that's what I was going to say. The root of sports is that fun, and you know the understanding that in order to have that fun, you have to put in some work. Hmm. You know, I think, and that's the counterbalance is, you know, understanding that, hey, why am I doing this? Why am I committed to pushing myself in this way? Why am I committed to doing the you know, putting the number of hours that I am into my craft? It's because it's so much fun. And I think that's lost on so many people.
You know, I was a football coach for I think Chris said over 30, 40 years. And, I never really looked at it as work because it was what I chose to do. And it was a lot of fun and, allowed me to stay involved with young people. And, you know, that's the key to life, really, is finding things that you love and want to do and try to be the best at.
That's a good word, Coach. There's a lot of stuff we learn, you know, as we go along, but I think there's some things that really can't be taught. And Coach Stewart and I, we talk about this need to be different, you know, in order to succeed at the highest level. And, you know, we've used Joe as an example of that many different times, just, you know, of him having this different mentality about him, how he's always been focused on success, focused on getting better. Just wondering, Coach, is that how you seem as his father? And in your eyes, what do you think makes Joe so different from other kids or even other athletes that you coach and spent time with?
Well, that's a that's a good question. I think there's a competitive spirit in him that he wants to win, but even more important, he doesn't want to lose. And I think that's in most every athlete, but I think, you know, Joe takes it to a different level. I know after a loss, not to really be around him very much, not to communicate a whole lot. And, you know, he's already focusing on the next game, but I think that makes him different a little. And then this is talked about a lot in the media, is his leadership ability. And I think some of that you're born with, some of that you learn. But he has this innate ability to really inspire and motivate others, his teammates, you know, in pursuit of their goals, and that's to win every week. And he's never been, and I would think Chris knows this, his personality's never been to yell and scream and kind of that type of leadership, but it's a subtle, quiet about Joe that brings out the best in his teammates and really does allow those guys to play at a very high level. And that type of leadership and that type of competitive spirit combined really makes Joe who he is as an athlete.
Yeah. That got me thinking back to something you said a minute ago about how he has been always had the privilege of being around really good players and really good people at Athens High School, at LSU, you know, Ohio State, everywhere he's been. Yeah, there have been a lot of really, really good people, good coaches, good, you know, good players that have really helped elevate him. But I think the one common factor in all of those scenarios has been Joe. That, you know, I mean, there is something different. I you can see it. Pat and I, we really enjoy one of our favorite authors is a guy named Tim S. Grover. He wrote a book called Relentless, and I'm actually finishing up reading his most recent book called Winning. And I don't know if you've heard of him, Coach, but he was the personal trainer for Michael Jordan. He was actually in The Last Dance. Tim Grover was. He trained Kobe Bryant, also Dwayne Wade, but he has a way of explaining some of those differences, the different attributes that people who are, you know, you've got people who are winners, people who are good leaders and good winners, but then you have another layer of people, and there aren't very many of them in the world, and they are unstoppable, and that's what he calls them. And I feel like in some way we have tried to explain that's a character, that's an element of who Joe is. There's an unstoppable factor to him that is it's fascinating to watch. it's absolutely fascinating to watch.
He is certainly relentless in his pursuit of his goal. I mean, he had a one track mind once he went to college to win a national championship, and he got that done, and he wanted to win a Super Bowl, and he's going to get that opportunity here at some point. That's like when people said he didn't want to play for the Bengals. He absolutely wanted to play for the Bengals because he knew they hadn't won a Super Bowl ever, and that would be quite a challenge for him, and he could continue to be relentless in that pursuit of his goal.
My buddy,
I wish I could have got to you sooner because the Browns have never been to a Super Bowl. And, you know,
Pat's been a huge Browns fan, coach, and he's been depressed ever since that draft when they picked Joe number one in the same division as the Browns.
My only hope was that they traded the pick. That was my only hope. I prayed for it. I begged for it.
I don't think that was ever in the cards, but it might have been. I know people threw out a lot of draft choices to try to get them to trade that pick, but they never do that. And we're glad. That's who we wanted him to play for, too. It's 2.5 hours away. It's in Ohio. And
that's a great point.
It's worked out great for us.
And speaking about inspiration, unfortunately for me and my Browns fandom, I have a firm belief that he has and it will continue to change the Bengals organization into something that fans in this area are not accustomed to seeing. And I'm not accustomed to seeing as a Browns fan. So, you know, I don't look forward to my team competing against him for the next 20 years. But I guess we'll have to deal with it.
I think the big thing from here on out is going to be free agents are going to want jump on board because of all the attention that's been given to, just like we talked about, it's a group of friends playing ball, and the culture in that locker room is really, from my understanding, talking to Joe and just again reading things that the media talk about, that the culture is what it needs to be to win championships. So, you know, we're hoping that'll become even more attractive for free agents here in the next year or two.
Oh, there's no doubt it will, for sure.
Yeah. Well, Coach, looking back over the past 5 years, I'm not going to ask you what the scariest moment or the hardest moment has been for you and Robin, because a lot of us probably have an idea what that was, with the knee injury and everything that he had to go through to get back. But what has been the most surprising moment to you? What surprised you the most in relation to Joe's path to where he's at today?
Probably that he ended up at LSU. That was surprising. I mean, I grew up in down south and knew all about LSU football, but you know, when he signed with Ohio State, and I guess that might go outside that five year period, but the most surprising thing is that he won a national championship at LSU, not Ohio State. So I don't talk about that a lot, but that's kind of the answer to that question. And it worked out, you know, for the best. I mean, we love LSU, but that was how that all transpired.
Yeah, I had to pause and think back through it's been such an amazing journey for the fan. I mean, just the common person to consider. I just can't imagine some of the emotions that you guys have had over the over the past few years.
That was a tough few weeks. You know, Joe deciding to transfer and again to leave a team and friends that he really cared about, but he put a lot of thought into it, and we were there to support him, and we were all for it when he decided to transfer, and when he chose LSU, you know, we were all on board. So that was a good thing.
Yes,
what a great decision that ended up being. I thought he was going to Texas. I remember when that was up.
Yeah, we talked to them and a lot of other people, but just there was something about Coach Ogeron and LSU and the opportunity to win a national championship, which is, as I've spoken about here a couple of different times, that was his goal, and that's where he thought he had the best opportunity to do that. It proved out right.
Let me ask you a logistics question, Coach, because talking about changing organizations, when Joe went to LSU, they were mostly a running offense. They didn't throw. You know, what was the thought process into that? You know, Joe going in and thinking, these guys don't throw the football a lot.
People that were recruiting against LSU for Joe certainly brought that up. Why do you go there and hand the ball off to these running backs in the I formation? But they had started somewhat of a transition to a new offense. And when we got there, they had their plan. They had Joe, film of Joe at Ohio State. They had film of their spring practice that had a lot of the similar spread components of what he had done at Ohio State. And we all know that goes back as far as Athens is spreading out the defense and throwing the football. So we had the Joe especially, we were there for all the meetings. We had to trust Coach O and their their coaches on offense that they were willing to change and that they were going to tailor their offense to not what they'd done in the past, but what Joe's strength was. And, once they started going over the depth chart of guys like John Jefferson and Jace and all those guys, it became evident that they had the skill people to do what they said they were going to do, and that's to go to a spread offense and let Joe do what he did best.
What's unbelievable, almost just what the timing and the decision and the trust and the chances that were taken there to bring everything together.
Such a big thing for any coach at any sport is for his team to trust him. And we did. We trusted what Coach Ogeron said and basically his recruiting of Joe and changed Joe's life and really our whole family's life. And again, coaches have so much effect on athletes with whether it's Little League baseball or basketball or college football or NFL. It's a huge responsibility for coaches, and we're always forever indebted to Coach Ogeron.
That's a really good word, Coach. Thank you for pointing that out. I actually didn't know a whole lot about Coach Ogeron until Joe decided to go to LSU, and then of course we all were paying attention. And after seeing him talk a few times, I looked at my wife, April, and I said, it's no wonder he chose to go here. I love this guy. I can see why he would.
He was a great recruiter, a great motivator. You had to get a little used to how he spoke and that Cajun accent that he had. But, he was a player's coach. We were certainly disappointed he's no longer there, but we're still all supportive of LSU football, and we'll be forever.
Yeah. Coach, you got anything else to slide in here before we go to our last question?
Any time, any podcast that can promote things for that are good for parents and coaches, and we're always. Looking to share our experiences. There's no perfect way to raise an athlete or to raise a son or daughter, but there's a lot of things you can learn from listening to other people, and hopefully something in this podcast can help be helpful in somebody raising their future NFL football player.
Yes, definitely. I have a feeling quite a few are going to tune in to listen to this one, so hopefully that is the turnout. But yeah, we appreciate that. Well, Coach, there's a question. We've had actually quite a few guests on the podcast over the last couple of years that we've been doing it. And we asked this question with the first guest that we had, and we just kept doing it because we loved the answer that we got. And every time we ask it, it just seems like the answers we get are just absolutely amazing. So question we want to ask you is, you know, do you have one or maybe two favorite memories from your own days of growing up playing sports?
Yeah, that's an easy one. It goes back to Little League Baseball. My dad was my coach. So, you know, that was the first team sport as a lot of young boys and girls, that is their first opportunity to be involved with the team. And just looking forward to those Little League games and competing and having fun and being so bummed out and depressed when one got rained out. You know, all those memories, because it was important to play baseball at that time, and my dad was the coach. So, you know, that was the one thing I look back at, and it was a great memory, because he never coached me in basketball or football or anything like that. But Little League Baseball, that's a no-brainer for me. That was I remember a lot about that for sure.
Yeah, I think a lot of our memories that we get from our guests come from Little League Baseball. Those those days back from 7 years old all the way through 12. And shoot, we get a chance to talk to Joe. I bet you he would give us a Little League Baseball story sometime too, playing with old Keith McGrath and those guys, and traveling around and playing some.
Yeah, Joe didn't want to move from Fargo, North Dakota. If you've ever been there with the weather, you go, why? But once again, he developed a friendship with a lot of kids his age, and Little League Baseball here helped him make that transition from a new town, a new school, new friends, and you know, it was a big part of him growing up here in Athens for sure.
Yeah, his little league football coach has gotten some national time. I saw Sam Smathers on the all over the internet last week, Coach.
Yeah, Sam is you know, he third grade. He looked at Joe and said, "You're my quarterback," and it's history. But I love Sam being all those time interviews, because he's a true Athens Bulldog lover and fan, and Southeast Ohio. He represents all of us well.
Yes, he does.
They like the beard on him too, so that's a.
Oh yeah, it fits. When people think about Appalachia, buddy, that's what it is. That's right. Well, Coach, we promised you it'd be, you know, less than 40 minutes or so, 30 minutes. You've spent a little over half an hour with us, and we just again want to express our gratitude to you for taking time. I mentioned before we started recording that, you know, you got to do is Google the name Jimmy Burrow, and you can see lists and pages of all the podcast interviews and radio show interviews and things that you've done. You're doing more of these than Joe is, I think. And so we just really, really are grateful that you would choose to come on to our little show here.
We appreciate you you having me on there, and we'll do it again one of these days, and appreciate everybody's support, certainly of Joe and now the Bengals. So one more to go till the Super Bowl. So
yeah, you guys have an awesome time this week. I want to hear a Go Bengals from my podcast host there, Pat.
Oh my goodness. I was going to admit that I would be rooting for them.
If Pete Germano and Kevin Goldsberry and some of those guys can say it, man, you gotta roll out with it. Let's go.
Go Bengals. Go Bengals.
All right. You're the man.
There you go.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, you and
really
Robin have safe. Have safe travels and just really and soak it all in out there. Get some Kansas City barbecue. It's good stuff.
We will. And good luck to you and the Eastern Eagles this baseball season.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Yep. We'll see you, Coach.